Are you willing to bring your friends to Jesus? Are you willing to bring them because they're crippled by sin? Some of you tonight here are like this paralytic man. You've been paralyzed somehow, somewhere in your life where one part of your body is paralyzed because of sin. And you need to be touched by Jesus.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. 50 years ago, Raul received Christ as his Savior and asked the Lord to use his life to lead others to salvation. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 for a free DVD that shares Raul's testimony of how God transformed him and equipped him to boldly share the hope of the gospel. Well, thank you so much for tuning in to our continuing series, Exploring God's Call on Our Lives as Believers. As you stay with Raul to think about the incredible empathy and determination of friends who actually broke through a roof to bring a paralytic man to Christ, you'll see how you can play a key role in drawing others to Jesus. Stay with us for encouragement to consider what you're currently doing to impact the people around you eternally. Now, in the Gospel of Mark, here's Raul Reese.
Look what it says, beginning with chapter 2, verse 1. And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. And so the word spread rapidly, and they said, hey, Jesus is in town again. Hey, go call your cousin, go get your friends. Man, let's go to the house and see him. And it seems that people did not come to Jesus because he was the Messiah. People came to Jesus because they wanted something from him. It seems a lot of people have the wrong motivation to coming to Jesus Christ. Some people are desperate. Some people are having situations in their lives where they make a promise, Lord, tonight I'll give you my life if you only get me out of this one. But you see, it doesn't work like that. God wants all of your heart, all of your mind. He wants all of your will. And the more you give yourself to the world, the more you stay away from God's word, the more you stay away from prayer, the more you're going to become like the world, and you're giving Satan an opportunity to brainwash you and to steal your heart from you. What's amazing to me that as these people surrounded the house of Peter and they're in the house, notice verse 2, immediately many gathered together so there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. You know, whenever Jesus Christ was appearing, whenever Jesus Christ is being preached, there should be no room for people to enter. It should be so packed out because it's words of life that he's giving. You ever think about that? That the places should be packed out everywhere we go where Jesus is being preached. This seems to be the pattern through the New Testament and through the Gospels, that wherever Jesus went, the multitudes were there, and you had people with the right motive and the wrong motive coming to follow Jesus. Not everybody that was there was really there to meet Jesus as the Son of God. Some were selfish in their desires. They were there because they wanted something for themselves. But look what he says in verse 2. And he preached the word to them. Notice the importance of the preaching of the word. Not entertaining, not healing, but the preaching of the word of God to the people. Think of how many people are starving to death because they're not in the word of God. They don't think it's important to read the Bible. We need the word of God. Daily. You see, that's why it's so important that when these people came to Jesus, they came to hear the word of God. He gave them the word of God. And then secondly, look what he says in verse 3. And then they came to Jesus bringing one that was paralyzed, who was carried by four men. Here is the situation now. Here are four friends. They have a friend that is paralyzed. He's been on his back all his life. We don't know how it happened, but the encounter here in the gospel is that this young man had been paralyzed for a long time. And when his friends heard that Jesus was in town, man, they said, "Hey, John, guess what happened? Jesus is in town, and tonight we're going to take you to see Jesus." Notice, it wasn't the faith of the one that was paralyzed. It was the faith of the four friends that brought this man to Jesus. This is the same way that we bring people to the crusades or to any event or invite them to church, because these four men love their friend. How much do you love your friends? How much do you love your family? Are you willing to bring your friends to Jesus? Are you willing to bring them because they're crippled by sin? You see? Some of you tonight here are like this paralytic man. You've been paralyzed somehow, somewhere in your life, where one part of your body is paralyzed because of sin. And you need to be touched by Jesus. Otherwise, you're walking around crippled all of your life. I love the story because here are four men that really cared about their friend as they're bringing him to Jesus Christ. And look at what he says in verse 4. But when they got there, they couldn't come near because there were so many people. So they uncovered the roof where he was. You notice how we need to be consistent in our life for others? In pursuing to see them saved, to see them healed by Jesus? And of course, as they looked around, there were people inside and outside. They said, "You know what? The only way, John, that we can get you to Jesus is we got to climb up on the roof." And at that time, they had flat roofs. And what happened, there was some tile among the roof, and this was Peter's house. And what they did is they began to uncover the roof. They made a hole in the roof. It wasn't even their house. But they didn't care, as long as they got their friend to Jesus. And they said, "Now look, you guys, we're going to climb up, but we need ropes too. Because when we get up there to the roof, we can't say, 'Hey, Jesus, we're up here.' But we're going to have to get our friend, tie his pallet, and lay him down, and then put him through the roof, and then lower him right where Jesus is." That's persistency, you see? I don't give up on Jesus Christ. No matter what I have to do to get my friend and to get myself to Jesus, I will do anything that I have to do to see my friend totally healed. Notice the heart of these men and the heart that we need to have for our loved ones and our friends in telling them to come to Jesus. Making that invitation to them. Praying that God will touch their hearts to come to hear Jesus. That is so important. Some of us, like this crippled man that was paralyzed, our lives have been totally paralyzed by sin for many, many years, and there's really nothing we can do until we come to Jesus again. How we need to come to Jesus Christ so that He can touch us. So that He can touch my life and that He can do something with my life. Even as we see these men here going to the house of Peter. Then look what he says in verse 4 again. But when they got there, they couldn't come near because there were so many people. So they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralyzed was lying. Now, I mean, the scriptures are telling us exactly. Do you think it was just a moment of silence and we're here teaching and all of a sudden there's a hole on the roof and there's stuff dropping down and people are not even looking up? I guarantee you there was a lot of things going on. They're looking up and saying, "What in the world's going on?" And Jesus, He knows what's going on. And all of a sudden here comes this guy out of the sky, lowering by his four friends in the front of Jesus. What a lesson for us tonight. That when you come to Jesus, He will never disappoint you. Believe me. Never, ever will disappoint you when you come to Jesus Christ. Ever. Look what he does. Verse 5. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the one that was paralyzed, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Hey, wait a minute, Jesus. I'm crippled. Why don't you say you're healed? You notice that the first thing Jesus dealt with was not his paralyzed legs or arms or body, but it was his sin issue. Notice that. He's dealing with the sin issue first. Your sins are forgiven you. That's more important than any healing in my life. The sin issue. Because you can come to Jesus, and if he healed you, and you could walk, and you could see if you were blind, but he didn't forgive you for your sins, what would be the use? You see what I'm saying? We need the forgiveness of our sins first. That's the first thing we need to deal with. That's the first thing you need to deal with. That before Jesus Christ can touch you and he can heal you, he wants you to understand that you need to deal with your sin. Your sin is what's keeping you from God. Your sins are separating you from your God and from fellowship and from the work of God that he wants to do in your life. And he can't do anything until you settle the issue of sin in your life. And that is by coming to repentance and humbling yourself before the Lord and being truly converted and not putting your friends first or putting your wife first or your husband or your job or your partying, but Jesus Christ has to be number one in your life. Otherwise, you came here tonight and you'll leave the same way you came here tonight. Notice how emptiness that must be to people. When they come to the house of the Lord, they come with a problem and they leave with the same problem. Discouraged. And the reason is not that God didn't meet me, is that I did not submit myself to God. You see, God was always here. The problem is not with God, the problem is with you, the problem is with me, with my heart. We should leave with peace in our hearts and with joy and with love. Because Jesus will meet you right where you are. What a waste of time for so many people that make it an initiative to go to church every Sunday and they don't get nothing out of church. And the reason that you don't get anything out of church is because you're close to the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, because God is always speaking. You're the one that's not listening. God always ministers. We should never, ever leave the house of the Lord in emptiness, but we should always leave with fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. Wow, the Lord met me tonight. He spoke to my heart. Maybe tonight some of you have come with some paralyzed disorder in your life for a long time now. You know what it is, because you haven't put God first, and God tonight is wanting to deal with you, but it's not God's timing. It's actually not God's turn. It's your turn. You need to make the move. He's already made the move. He went to the cross to die for you, to pay the penalty of sin. He's taking care of sin. Now you have to deal with sin. And what's interesting to me, that as they brought him down, it says that the faith, you see, he put his faith, he believed God. And immediately he forgave him for his sins. And of course, right away, those people that were sitting in the house, some of the scribes that were in the house, they were nuts. They said, "Oh my goodness, how can this man say that he can forgive sins? How blasphemous." Look what it says in verse 6 and 7. But some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. And listen to this. "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sin but God alone?" Notice they were not in tune. There's a lot of people that come to church and they're out of tune. They'll sit through the sermon, but they're not in tune with the Holy Spirit. They don't realize, and they didn't realize that Jesus was God. You see? God was right in their midst. And they're saying that Jesus is making a blasphemy of what he said, because there's only one person that can forgive sin, and that is God. Well, Jesus is God. You see? They should have known. They were theologians. They had been studying the scriptures, but you see, they were spiritually blind. You can read the Bible, and the Bible can be nothing to you if you're not in tune with God. How sad of the time wasted and the things that we put into religion for the name of religion, when we should have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And what people don't realize, and what I think this man realized, is that what we're doing, when you're young, you're only thinking of now and you're not thinking of tomorrow. And what's going to happen is that whether we're young or old, it doesn't really matter. When the time you die, when they have your funeral and they have my funeral, you know, as a matter of fact, they have our funeral 3 days later, when we've already been in heaven or hell 3 days. You see? The matter of time when they bury somebody. But what's interesting is the moment you die and you go into the presence of the Lord, if you're a Christian, you're going to be in the presence of God. And the only thing that is going to count when you stand before God is what you have done for Jesus Christ. That's it. Nothing else. He's not going to ask you what university you graduated from or what kind of occupation you have. He's going to ask you, what did you do with my son, Jesus Christ? That's the main issue. That's all that's going to count. You're going to be held accountable and responsible for your time, for the days, for the years, for the weeks, for the months, for the money that you spend on yourself. For all the time you spend on yourself and the things that you did only for yourself. Why? Because anything that you do for yourself, it's all going to die. It's going to pass away. The only things that are invested in the kingdom of God are the things that you do for God with a true heart. Those are the only things that are lasting. Otherwise, you're going to stand like in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 to 15, where you take the gold, the silver, the wood, the hay, the stubble, all the precious stones, and he puts it into the fire. And when the fire gets turned on, whatever burns up and whatever is left, that's going to be your reward. Why? Because he's going to evaluate the value of what you did for God. You see? You're going to be tested in the fire. And whatever comes out of the fire, that's going to be your reward. And if there's nothing in the fire that is left over, you're going to be saved as by the fire. Why? Because salvation is the free gift of God to you. But how sad that you spend 30 or 40 or 60 or 80 years on this earth and did nothing for Jesus Christ. How sad. When you could have done something for him. That's why we get saved. We don't get saved so we can go to church. We get saved so God can use my life. So that he can use me now for his glory. As I give him my life. Imagine that. So many people today are wasting their time and energy. As the world and the music and the movies are stealing the heart of the people. Why? Because our priorities are so wrong. What seems to be first in your life tonight? And whatever is first in your life, that is your God. Whatever possesses you, whatever motivates you, whatever moves you, whatever is moving your life, that is your God. Pretty heavy. That's why we need to come back to the Lord. We need to get our priorities right before the Lord. The Pharisees were blind. They were calling Jesus a blasphemer when he was speaking the truth. He was God. And of course, immediately Jesus, notice this, verse 8. Immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, because he could read their minds, he said unto them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Hey, the problem is with your hearts, you guys. Jesus knew already. And then Jesus said to them, which is easier to say to you, to the one that is paralyzed, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, I arise, take up your bed and walk? I mean, to me it's not hard to say anything, Jesus says. But I'm dealing with the issue of sin first. But watch this. but that you may know that I am God, that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Notice right here, he reveals himself to them saying, I am the Son of Man. 30 times we find this title, the Son of Man, through the Gospels. So that you may know that I am the Son of Man, he said to the one that was paralyzed. Notice the command, I say to you, get up, take up your bed, and go your way to your own house. Can you imagine what it must have been like when he jumped out of his bed and he carried his pallet in front of all these guys and he walked out and he was smiling and rejoicing? These guys were not too happy, I guarantee you that. There's a lot of times when parents and loved ones and friends, husband and wives, when someone in the family gets saved, they're just like the Pharisees and the scribes. They're not too happy because you've accepted the Lord. You broke up with your girlfriend. You were living together in sexual sin. You're trying to get your life right with God. Now you're really happy where before you used to escape and you were empty. But as Jesus Christ said, arise and take up your bed. Man, immediately not only did he forgave my sins, but he took away the crippleness from my life. I was made whole. God made me whole to use me for his glory.
If you feel you've been paralyzed by sin and need a fresh start in your life, we pray that today's message has been an encouragement for you to seek Christ's restoration and forgiveness. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. If you'd like to review today's program, we'll send you an unedited copy for a gift of $5 or more. Just call 800-634-9165 and ask for the lesson titled The Watchman's Heart. We'd also like to tell you about an audio pack simply titled The Call. No matter where you currently stand with the Lord, this 5-CD series from Raul will inspire you with insights into the rich abundance that comes from absolute submission. You'll see that whether your walk with God is just beginning or you've been on a journey with Him for many years, as you follow His leading, He'll guide you in fruitfulness and faith. Get in touch with us to order Raul's new audio series. To make your purchase, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 and ask for the 5-CD collection titled The Call. We'll send it to you for a gift of $20 or more. That number once again is 800-634-9165. Or if you'd like, you can write us at Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We've developed a wide range of resources to aid you in studying the Bible on your own. Download our app to your iPhone or Android for a variety of digital Bible studies and a personal scripture reading plan. To keep listening to Raul's teaching, you can also download any of these programs as podcasts using iTunes or Spotify. And for an up-to-date discussion on world events from a biblical point of view, be sure to join Raul on his YouTube channel every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific for Straight Talk. Our goal here at Somebody Loves You Radio is to help you stand firm in the strength of God's Word, and we welcome your thoughts on how we can best serve you. We'd also love to stand with you in prayer, so when you call us, be sure and let us know how we can do that. This ministry is made possible through your continued prayers and financial support. On behalf of all of us here at the ministry, thanks so much for your partnership. Next time on Somebody Loves You Radio, we'll explore God's call to holiness. An appeal that challenges us to open ourselves up to a full transformation from the inside out. Here's Raul now once again with a final comment.
In verse 12 it says, and immediately he rose up, he took up his bed, and he went into the presence of them all, so that all were amazed. And notice, and all glorified God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. What were they doing? They were bringing glory and honor to the name of God. That's what our lives should be like. Our lives should always bring glory and honor to God. Is your life tonight bringing honor and glory to God? Or is it displeasing to God? I would pray this evening that every single one of us here, before we come to the Lord's table, that we would make our hearts right before God. Whatever is crippling you tonight, take care of it. Don't take the bread and the cup unworthy unless something would come upon you. But respect the cup and the bread as you come to the communion table this evening, that in coming in true repentance to God, that I am going to change, God. Lord, tonight I want to submit my life to you. Why? Because without him, I can do nothing. Apart from God, I can do nothing. Know that. Know that. I don't care where you go, what you do. Without God, you're only going around in circles. It is not until you submit your life to God that God can begin to work in your lives.
I am falling in love.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.